Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Logic Sports Podcast. I'm Shamar Davis, and I'm joined by Dan Pleat and Nasir Subar. How are you guys doing today?
Feeling good, like usual.
Yep.
And the NFL trade deadline just passed 2 days ago, and there were a lot of big trades. You know, we have Dante Fowler getting traded, Ty Montgomery, Golden Tate, Demaryius Thomas, and other names I'm pretty sure I'm missing. But out of all the trades that happened, which trade do you think, like, fits the best? Not that you like the, like, that you think fits the best, like, for a team.
I'd probably go with, honestly, the Dallas trade, because I feel like they really needed, like, a dominant receiver. Them getting Cooper, and he's young, so it's like he still has that potential to have further his career and become even better. He's been a two-time Pro Bowler, so that's a good addition. And, like, this honestly could be, like, another safety blanket for Dak. And now him have more confidence in throwing the ball downfield, so... Now you get Zeke spreading the field out through the run, and then you got a pass game. So I think it helps the Cowboys out the most.
I'm going to go with the Houston trade. I think them getting Demaryius Thomas is a big help. The reason I say this is because that's a fill-in for Will Fuller, but at the same time, they're different players. So I like having that deep threat with Fuller, but I feel like that's easier to have, like, a lower-level kind of guy, like someone... Like that guy QT, when he comes back, he's pretty quick. Like, he could be the deep threat. So now, instead of having just DeAndre Hopkins, who's deep threat and just physical, big body, Demaryius Thomas is that same kind of guy, just a little bit, like, not as good, obviously.
He's basically like them getting another one.
Yeah, so now you have two guys who can literally run quick slants for 10 yards. And, like, if they box, like, they can just box out their receiver. So I feel like that was really good to help Watson out now that Fuller's hurt for the year. And if that defense stays healthy, I think they could make the playoffs and... hopefully surprise people.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you with the Texans, because if you look at, like, the other trades, kind of, like you said, the Amari Cooper one, it was definitely a good fit, but they also gave up a first-round pick. And, like, for example, like, the Eagles gave up a third-round pick for Golden Tate, who's on a one-year contract, but the Texans get Demaryius Thomas to replace Will Fuller for only a fourth and a seventh, and then they also get a seventh back, so really just, like, a fourth-round pick.
They just swapped.
Yeah, so, like, when Will Fuller comes back next year, like, they're going to have Demaryius Thomas, Will Fuller, and DeAndre Hopkins. So, it's past this year. Demaryius Thomas is still locked up for a couple years. So, I mean, I like that move because it helps them now, because it's definitely a need. And then it just makes them stronger for next year, or, like, in the middle of the season or whenever Will Fuller comes back. He'll probably be ready by opening day. But I like that move the best. But like I brought up, how do you guys feel as Eagles fans about the Golden Tate move?
I think it was a big addition. I think... the way the offense has looked this year, I think they honestly could be playing better. And we're not the same dominant team putting up 30 points a game like we were last season. Of course, it's because the schedule is more difficult. But the offense still hasn't changed. Like, we've had injuries and we've had to bounce back from it before. So, us getting a receiver like Golden Tate, who was a number one basically in Detroit, I think this is a great addition. Because now you have that small, quick receiver that Wentz can get to. And now you with the addition, like, he's a great addition and a good role with Alshon, who's a big, like, kind of like a red zone receiver as far as going up for the ball. And Ertz, who's, like, another drop-down target. But I think he's a good fit for the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bash this at all. Like, there's nothing to say bad about it. I just, like, I don't know. I feel like we were, like, keeping him away from other teams. Like, we didn't need...
I
don't think we need a receiver. Like, I'm not ever going to say Golden Tate is not someone I would want on my team. Like, he's going to help. But I just feel like, I don't know, it's kind of, the Eagles are going after people who, like, or positions that they have, like, so much of. Like, when I got Michael Bennett in the offseason, I'm like, that's a really good player to get, so I'm not going to be mad, but, like, we have so much, so it's kind of confusing that, like, that's what they want to go after. But Golden Tate's, he's a premier guy. Like, he's going to come out and probably do really well with Wentz, I believe, and he's going to take pressure off of Ertz, who gets so many catches, and Jeffrey, who gets so many catches. So, yeah, it's a good move. Like, I'm not going to say anything bad about it. I just wish the Eagles went after... like, more of a need at this point. Like, Mills needs to go. We need someone in that place.
Could have gotten,
like, Chris Harris, you know? Like.
Well, to be honest with you, I think that Howie Roseman definitely knows that wide receiver wasn't the first position to upgrade. Like, a lot of people say running back or defensive back, and I understand but I think they like Avante Maddox playing safety for some reason. Mm-hmm. And he's not that bad, but, like, I feel like if you look about it, like, if you look at, their, like, only corners that really got traded was Eli Apple. only running back that got traded was Ty Montgomery. Like, those guys were probably aren't guys Howie Roseman really thinks can make a difference. Yeah. So, since, like, the guys he probably definitely caught about running backs and corners and stuff like that, but he was like, all right, if I can't get any, I'm just got to make my team better. Let me get something that at least I can use. And Golden Tate, to be honest, like, he had 90-plus catches the last 4 years, I believe. So, he comes in to Philly, and he's not the number one target, but he can definitely end up getting the most receptions because of the way he, especially with this line, the way that your line is playing, like the way he plays, he's a close to the line of scrimmage play. Or if Wentz likes to extend plays, so does Golden Tate. So like, I think it's a good pickup for sure, and only a third round pick. And then the potential of him re-signing also could really help.
Yeah, he said it himself. He feeds off fans. So like, if the fans like him and he's doing well, like, he's probably gonna want to, I think he would want to stay. It just depends on
money, because Aguilar's also a free agent. Yeah, and so
we have
a lot
of people we have to pay, so it will be difficult. But the reason I'm saying is because, like, as an Eagles fan, I watched last week's game, and I'm seeing like Dexter McDougal slip before like the snap even like comes out. Like, I don't get how we don't have the depth. Like, we have young guys who aren't great, but they're getting better. But then we have guys like, well, I said Dexter McDougal, I'm pretty sure, like, Trey Sullivan's, like, next guy up. Like, we really need depth at that position, that it's hard to kind of go after anyone else knowing that, like, that's
I think he
issue.
Definitely tried. I think it would have been... Did. I think no, it, I think I would probably be more concerned if, like, four corners got traded and, mm-hmm. like, two safeties got traded. Then, like, you can be mad. But since only, like, HaHa Clinton Dix got traded, then, like, he definitely tried. I just think the market was probably small to what he thinks can, like, help the team.
Yeah, I wish we went after, like, Chris Harris or someone on Denver, like, some of those teams. Like, you're, like, Janoris on the Giants. I know they probably wouldn't want to give the Eagles anyone.
Yeah.
He's better than what the Eagles have. That's all I'm saying.
You need someone physical. And that's all I'm saying. You just use him as the depth. Because, like, that is...
But you also have to keep, like, salary. There's just, like, a lot of...
Yeah, salary is a big
yeah.
thing that people don't really realize.
Yeah, there's a lot of
things. Talk about.
Yeah.
Like, when people say...
Like, Janoris Jenkins is his money.
Yeah. Like, when people say, oh, we should have went after Le'Veon, like, I know we kind of need a running back at this point, but, like, the money would not work out.
Yeah, definitely.
I really don't think so.
Yeah, definitely not. But what about the Rams getting better? Like, they're undefeated already, and then they go out and get Dante Fowler from the Jaguars. And, like, Dante Fowler, like, he's just playing with, like, the best defensive lines in the NFL. What do you think the Rams, like, what do you think about that move?
They're trying to shut down every rushing offense, every passing offense, because they're just trying to get back to the – they're trying to get to the behind the line of scrimmage at this point. They've got Aaron Donald – I think he might be the best defensive tackle.
Probably defensive lineman.
Like, just D lineman in general, because he has strength, he's fast, he's so elusive. And then you have a run stopper that's like Ndamukong Suh, who can still get to the quarterback. He's not what he was in Detroit, but he's still a great player. Yeah. And then you're adding a young guy like...
And you have Brockers, too.
And you still have Brockers, exactly. And then you're adding a guy
Brockers
like Fowler.
Brockers pretty good, man.
You're adding all these guys in. It's just... It's hard... When your front line can't get a good push... It's hard for extended plays, for extra plays, for them to get big plays. Like, them adding another pass rusher and a good defensive lineman, that's big for the team, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them honestly that much of a tier one team and pushing them above other teams, because they're already undefeated, as you said. So.
See, I think, I don't know. I feel like last week kind of got them thinking that they don't have a really good rush defense, which, like, I don't think it's the best in the league, but it was already up there without Fowler. So then they went out and got this guy. So, like, last week, the reason I said is last week Aaron Jones came out, and he looked pretty good. I'm pretty sure he had a little over 10. Yeah, he had, like, 12 carries for 86, I believe,
and
a touchdown. So, like, just because it's not a premier back in the league, they probably were like, we kind of need to improve that at this point. Which I don't think they need to, but getting Fowler is not.
I mean,
gonna
it definitely
hurt
doesn't.
It's
hurt.
Not gonna hurt.
It definitely doesn't hurt.
He's a really good player. Like, I saw him when he was at Florida, because when I used to root for Florida, like, back in the day, and he was just, I thought he just kept getting the quarterback, and I'm like, this guy's gonna be good. He went to Jacksonville, who wasn't a great defense, but they turned in a really good defense. So I think when he started learning from, like, Calais Campbell and, like, Ngakoue, that's when he started to really get better. So I was confused as to why they traded him, but I think the Rams took advantage of them wanting to get rid of him, and they got a really good player.
Yeah, I agree with that. How do you feel about the HaHa Clinton Dix move?
I'm upset, man. I really don't want the Redskins to be good. Like, I was denying the whole the first 8 weeks of the season that they just weren't that good, but they're showing that they're really trying to contend. Like, when Swearinger comes out at his however old he is, I thought he was too old to be good anymore. He comes out and he's doing what he's doing. They go out and they get this premier guy. They have Josh Norman in the secondary. Like, when you go into Washington, it's not going to be an easy win. Like, yeah. I'm starting to realize that, and it's not fun as an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the defense is really good, and I think that adding Kyle Clinton-Dix is a really big improvement because he isn't, like, an all-pro safety. But I don't know. I just feel like if you're able – because the defense is so hard, that's kind of what's making them. I think Alex Smith is taking care of the ball, but I don't think he's honestly being the one to win them the game.
I think that's why they got him.
I know. And, like, they're trying to just be able to conservative and hopefully play through their defense. Yeah. But, like, think back to the week when they played the Saints. I know the Saints are one of the best offenses in the league, but when you can put up that type of numbers on this team, they're not able to honestly combat with it.
Yeah.
Like, if you looked at almost all of their games this season, it's been close games. It's been almost one possession game. So, like, I can't see them as being – I don't see them as, like, a dominant team, but I think they're a solid team.
I think it definitely helps them.
I think it does help. I'm saying, like, it just – they're not – that trade isn't really putting them over the top to what they were.
I mean, I think if I'm the Redskins, you kind of have to do something like that because you look at the other two teams that have a chance to win your division. They both just got receivers in the past week. So, you come back and you counter with a defensive back. So, I mean, it's not that bad of a move. They're ahead. They're two games up on both of, on the Cowboys and the Eagles in the loss column. And, I mean, right now, you have to go for it if you're the Redskins. And obviously, no one thought that you would be here. So, probably your roster probably isn't that strong. So, for them to make a move, I mean, you just have to at this point because you see your other teams right behind you, breathing you. They're making moves and everything like that. But let's switch gears a little bit and go to a team that's not making moves. And that's the Minnesota Timberwolves when it comes to Jimmy Butler. And I just have a question for you guys. If you're the Timberwolves GM, and like the reports were saying, if the Rockets GM comes with you, with four first round draft picks for Jimmy Butler, do you take that trade?
Well, you have convinced me lately that maybe you shouldn't. But when I saw what they also added in Brandon Knight and another bench player, I feel like I would take that. Obviously, it's hard because they're all, like, separated the first round picks, but but just because, like, Jimmy Butler, like, he obviously doesn't want to be there, I would just take it. Like, four first rounders is not going to hurt you. You already have a decent team, like, around him, so I feel like if they just pretend like they never even got him in free agency, like, and they're back to not rebuilding, but building more of what they have, like, adding around Cat, Wiggins, like, D-Rose now. I mean, I feel like they really have... I feel like they should just get rid of him.
I mean, because we did talk about this, how, like, they're going to be late-round picks because their team would be that much better.
And plus, their Timberwolves also would have a late-round pick.
That's what I'm saying. So, you're getting two, like, mid-round picks. I'm not really sure if you should take the pick. It's never bad having multiple first-round picks. But when you're still kind of... They're still, like, a young team. Like, they're not... I wouldn't say they're young, but they're, like, at the age where, like, they're all kind of, like, veterans or getting older, but they're experienced.
They're entering their prime.
That's what I'm saying. They're entering, like, they're able, they're veterans at the point where they know how to win.
Yeah.
Where they should get to this point and be able to progress in their careers. So, I mean, I think they're still trying to find a better deal that they can do for Jimmy Butler, because there's still going to be teams that are looking for him as the season progresses. But I don't think you should take the trade, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's more trade assets, too. Like, if they were to get the four first-round picks, they probably wouldn't even, like, use all of them. Like, that's something that I could, like, ship out to someone else. Because first-round picks are about, like, GMs really...
It depends. Like, yeah, GMs do. But if I'm the second round of Kings and I have a first-round pick, a GM's going to value that as an actual first-round pick, as if I'm, like, the Houston Rockets with a first-round pick, that's basically a second-round pick. Like, if I don't really know this, not a fact, but if I go through, like, the past five drafts and look at the people that were picked 25 through 30, only people I really know that are good is, like, Kyle Kuzma. Like, and that's one team gets them. Like, a lot of teams every year have multiple picks in the first round, and they're just not in the top 10. And you don't really know what happens with those picks. Like, for example, like the Sixers, we got Landry Shamet, like, in the 20s. Like, they can just draft four Landry Shamets, and that's not going to help your team at all. Like, would you trade Jimmy Butler for four people like Landry Shamet? Like, no, you wouldn't. So, if I'm the Timberwolves, maybe if this is the trade deadline and Jimmy Butler's still on my team and I get that offer, then yeah, because he's unhappy. But it's still early in the season, and more teams are going to get desperate for him. And you can probably get a better offer from another team that you can also get, you know, also some player assets, not just you know, draft picks that are going to be late. Because the Rockets, with Jimmy Butler, they're going to be picking 27, 28, 29. Like, they're going to be picking that high. So, if it was me personally, I'd probably say no about that. But last night, Derrick Rose scored 50 points, and that's his career high. And, you know, like, I was just on Twitter and everything. Like, NBA Twitter really was just, like, happy for him. Like, no one isn't. And but what do you guys make of that 50-point game for Derrick Rose?
I mean, I think this is a good eye-opener for the league. Not saying Derrick Rose is back to what he was in his prime, but to honestly not forget about what this guy can do. Mm-hmm. He's still a talented player. Like, he's going through so much, and he said it, he worked his butt off to get to this point. And honestly, you can see that he has, like, going through two ACL tears. Like, you messing up your body, especially in basketball, messing up your lower half of your, like, your legs, that's hard to overcome, and a lot of people aren't able to get past that. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
hard to get past one.
Hard just to get past one, and getting past multiples and still be productive in this league.
Yeah.
With where it's so quickly and so, like, high speed, I guess. Yeah. Like, high pace is what I'm thinking about. But I think he's still a solid player, and he's, like, productive. And no matter what role you give him, he can produce.
See, I was ready to come into today and completely hop on the D-Rose bandwagon. Like, I really hope he is back. I'm not going to say it's official, because obviously not. Like, he could come out and do nothing the next game. But, like Nas said, like, he is someone who any day could come out and do something like this. Like, he really, in his MVP season, even though LeBron had better stats, he came out and showed up against anyone. Like, he helped his team to get to that
number one seed.
Like, he has that in himself. And I think when he kind of finally put it together from after his injuries and he was sitting out for a while, he got his mind right and he put the smarts behind the game, like the intelligence behind the game, with his skill set. That's when he figured it out. Like, what, I didn't watch the game, but I saw his highlights. He was doing exactly what I've been saying I think Markelle Fultz should do. He knows he's quick enough that people have to stay a little bit back on him. So that when they're doing that, he dips in a little bit, like, puts his shoulder down, and then just pulls up. That's what, like, Russ does. Like, that's what a lot of the really good point guards do. So seeing him do that really shows me that, like, he could still have it when he's healthy. Like, I was saying this to you before, he was going at Rudy Gobert. Like, that's the defensive player of the year. Like, you're not going to see, like, that many point guards do that. So just seeing him with that fierceness in him last night, like, he really did look like MVP D-Rose, and I really hope he's back, man.
Yeah, he definitely looked like MVP D-Rose. And, like, just watching his highlight, I was amazed. Like, I was just looking at it. And it wasn't even amazed because it's Derrick Rose. Like, if anyone did that, I would have just been like, he just had some highlights that were just crazy. And he's won in the game at the end playing defense, looking with the block. And, like, just, he's just, like, a really good player. And like, no matter what, we saw that he has it before. Like, we saw that he did it before. And that, like, he could score 25 points a game and lead the team to number one seed. And, like, that's not going to go away, like, from it. Like, that's, like, repetition. That's practice. Like, that's not going to go away. So he gets hurt, and obviously that sets back your physical ability. But if you keep working and keep working, like, he knows what moves to make. He knows what works in the league. And he's a veteran now. Like, he's way smarter than he was when he won MVP, to be honest. So for him to come out and drop his career highs because he had the opportunity to, and that starts with Jimmy Butler. Because Jimmy, like I said, I was telling you guys earlier, Jimmy Butler was there. He probably doesn't get the chance to score 50 because he's not getting all those shots. So if I'm Minnesota and I see that, then you just have to be like, wow, Derrick Rose actually could be. And, like, you know, you have to see how he's feeling after the game, and obviously, but not any regular person can score 50 points in the game. Like, you have to be decent. You have to be good. You have to be really good. In an NBA game to score 50 points, it's not like it was a blowout. So, I was really happy to see that.
I sent you guys that video of one of those highlight plays, and I literally said, like, who needs Jimmy Butler at that point? Like, obviously, with D-Rose, Cat, and Wiggins, they're not going to win a championship because there is the Warriors, there's the Rockets. But because this guy's not happy, and you see what Derrick Rose does when he has the team, like, when he has the ball in his hand, like, I would just be giving up Jimmy Butler at this point. Like, no disrespect to him that I'm going back to this, but he's such a great player, such a hard worker. Because he doesn't want to be there, and because you have other guys who can kind of help now, like, you still have Jeff Teague, too, I don't know if he would start over Derrick Rose now or not, but, like, you have some guys that, like, if Jimmy Butler's making them unhappy, like the rest of the team, like you just gotta get rid of him. Because I feel like D Rose without him could be back to, not back to MVP D Rose, but like a good solid starter or like player in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you guys think about like the shooting rampage that the Golden State Warriors have been on like the first 2 weeks? You see Steph drop 50, and then a couple days later, Klay's dropping 50. Kevin Durant shooting the lights out. Like, what do you think is just going on over there? Like,
we're looking at potentially the greatest team of all time.
Like, Boogie's not even here yet.
Not even by record. Like, just looking at like talent wise, like this is insane. Who's been able to shoot? Nobody. Like this.
Yeah.
You're having one player telling another player to break his own record. Like, this is insane.
That's not fair.
You have 14 threes in one game. That's crazy. And he got rusted through that. Like, who knows what could have happened.
Steph is just going to break it again, probably.
Like, the Warriors are just unstoppable. That's the only way I see it.
Yeah, I mean, they said Steph's shooting 55 for 104 from three. That's 53% through nine games. Like, I just don't get it. Like, how do you... Like, they just drafted, like, two amazing players who, like, try and one-up each other every try that they have. Like, literally, Steph Curry comes out and breaks the record that was held for, I'm pretty sure, a while. Like, a bunch of people had 12. Mm-hmm. He comes out and drops 13. The next year, or I forget when he did that. It was either last year or the year before. And Klay comes out and in three quarters drops 14. Like, I don't get how that's fair. Like, they didn't do anything wrong. Like, this has nothing to do with KD at this point.
Yeah,
they drafted two amazing shooters. Yeah. Like, they really got it.
Probably the two best shooters of all time.
Yes,
like I know Ray Allen's up there, but they're two of the top three, top four. Like, just seeing this team play, like, they don't need a coach. They don't need Boogie. They don't need any of these players. Like, as long as they have those core four guys, then they're going to be better than a lot of teams. Like, ever. The teams are going to happen in the future. Teams that happened already. Like, it's just me watching them. It's not even fun because I want to watch them because they're a fun team to watch, but they're always in a close game. And then next you know, third quarter happens, the game's over. Like, it's not even watchable. It's not even watchable. So it's not even fair. But you go over to the East, and things have been kind of weird in the East a little bit. Like, the Pistons got off to a hot start. Sixers on a weird start. The Celtics, kind of, like, Kyrie's been kind of shaky. Raptors, they've been good. But what do you think is going to happen in the East? Like, do you still think, like, the Raptors and the Celtics are still the favorites?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that. But at this point, I'm going to change, I believe, what I said before. I'm going to say the Raptors are going to be better than the Celtics and make it to the finals, or like have a best chance at this point to make it to the finals. We talked about this when I first got here, like Kawhi, like I don't know how people forgot that how good he was. Like,
yeah.
This guy came into Toronto and not only made sure everyone else knew that he was good, they made sure people knew that team was good. Like, I'm pretty sure he taught half that team how to play like better defense. Like, they were already a pretty good defensive team, I believe. But when you look at like how much better like some of those guys look from last year, like Siakam, OG,
Van Vliet.
Yeah, like Van Vliet, like that. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Like, these guys are now playing defense with a purpose because they know if they don't play good defense, like they have the guy who could possibly be the defensive player of the year, like one of the best defenders. I think he'll go down as one of the best defenders ever. So like having that, it's like having, like that's like if you mess up, you're really gonna feel it at that point. Because when DeMar was on the team, like he was more offense than defense. So now you got Kawhi, who's a lot of offense, but just amazing defense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
watching
him
against the Sixers and getting Ben Simmons to have 11 turnovers, that's something else.
That's
like, you're
ridiculous.
Not going to see that.
That's
so Kawhi is just something else right now, and he played the Celtics and helped his team beat the Celtics already, so I feel like they're favorites now.
Yeah, I've always been saying the Celtics are favorites. I mean, not the Celtics, the Raptors are favorites. Just because I thought Kawhi, if he was just, like, three-fourths of what he was, and they'll be fine, because I still think he'll be better than DeRozan. But, like, Kawhi is playing out of his mind right now. Like, he right now could be a dark horse, like, MVP candidate if he keeps it up and Toronto keeps winning. And, like, I've never seen anyone get a steal without looking. Like, that just baffles me. And then the Sixers game, that was just terrible. Like, you have to try to get 11 turnovers.
You know what baffles me, though, is that the Spurs just kind of, like, threw in Danny Green.
Yeah,
like,
they did.
Throw in a three and D player like that.
He's one of the best 3-and-D players.
Like, they just threw him in as if he was nothing. Like, how are you going to give up the... I don't know.
I don't know why any
words
other
can't describe how, like, confused I am by that trade at this point. Like, DeRozan's an amazing
player. I'm kind of mad
because... pretty good, but...
Because now looking at it, like, the Spurs wanted Simmons or something, but if we traded Simmons for Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard, I'll be perfectly fine with that, to be honest.
It's hard to give up Simmons,
but it is, but yeah, I'll be fine with it because that's a package of two players you can kind of start a team with. Just because Kawhi's there and Danny Green can play, you know, 1-3 defensively, and he's a great shooter. He can come off the bench. He can start. He's
smart. That would be considered the best defensive team in the league because they would have Danny Green, Kawhi, Robert Covington still if we didn't give him up, and then Joel Embiid.
Yeah. So, yeah, they would be, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, Kawhi Leonard's just, like, a different talent, and he's one of the best players in the NBA. We knew this before, but, like, it kind of just, I feel like I just got reminded. People started doubting him out. Yeah.
Because I'm sorry,
I never really seen someone go out for a year and a half or 2 years and come back and be better. Like, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
I apologize, Kawhi Leonard. I really didn't think you'd do this, and he's too good.
Yeah, only thing bad about him is the laugh. So, But moving on, let's go to college football. And the biggest game that happens every single season in college football outside of the playoffs is LSU and Alabama. And according to the college football playoff rankings, Alabama's 1 and LSU is 3. So, and these two teams play this week in Baton Rouge. So, this game is going to have a huge impact on the college football playoff. But if LSU loses, I'm going to go to you, Nas, because I know that LSU is your squad. If LSU loses, is there a chance that they can get back in the college football playoff?
I mean, I'm going to say there is a chance, but it is very unlikely just because there's so many other good teams in, like, the top four. Like, they already lost this. When I was looking at the schedule, I was just thinking, I was like, we could honestly do something this year, but going into every, like we do every game, we have to beat a team. We have to beat as many teams as we can before we get to Bama.
Yeah.
So you losing that game to Florida is big. But honestly, going off the momentum, like, LSU still has the potential to do. We're playing at home. We're playing in one of the biggest stadiums in the country. Like, we're a good team, and I think we're going to have to rely on our defense to honestly make plays and fly to the ball quick because this Alabama offense is honestly explosive. And they've shown week in and week out that they can just blow out any team. But we're one of the best defenses in the country, too, in my opinion. And I also think we have the chance to beat them.
Yeah, I was saying this one a few weeks ago that I after seeing what LSU can do at home against a great team like Georgia, I mean, it's hard to deny them, like, actually being really good and having a chance. Like, when I said this before, like, you can't come into Death Valley and just have, like, an amazing game. Like, that doesn't happen very often. So I truly don't think Bama will do that. And I'm going to say right now, I think LSU will come out and win this game. Like, Bama is by far the best team in college football, I believe. But when it comes down to one game, they wouldn't even be the worst team in the NFL. It's probably true. But when it comes down to that home field advantage, like, I've never been there, but, like, watching those, that all those students just, like, rally behind that team, even when they're not good, like, even when the years that they're not great,
it's a tradition.
Death Valley is just somewhere that you can't go into. Like, that's such a hostile environment, you can't go in and just start beating up on LSU no matter how bad they are. Like, it's really once in a, like, you just don't see it that often. So I think Bama's gonna come out and they'll probably have a good game. I think this will be, like, the best college football game this year. Like, I think it will go down as like how Bama versus Auburn was that one year, like, with that crazy return. I think there's going to be some crazy plays that's going to come down to the wire, and I think LSU got them.
I mean, I don't think Bama will lose this year, but if I had to choose a game that they would lose, it would be this game because, yeah, they're going into LSU and going into Death Valley. But also from, like, a mental standpoint, like, LSU knows this is it. Like, they can't win the SEC. They can't get into the playoffs if they lose this game. Alabama, if they lose, they probably won't even get dropped out of the top four because they're losing to the number three team according to the rankings. So, like, I feel like LSU needs this game more. And they've needed every game basically since Florida that they lost because they know, look, Alabama, they're not going to, like, we can't bank on Alabama losing. We have to go out there and beat them and win every other game. And I think LSU really has that mindset. And, I mean, it's hard for me to pick against Alabama, but it's definitely not going to be one of those easy games that Alabama, like, wins and stuff like that. But I really think Tua is going to be put to work. I think this defense is going to be put to work. It's going to be like an old-fashioned football game. And like you said, it'll probably be a memorable one, but I think Alabama will probably win in a close one.
See, and this is where it confuses me. Like, They said that the spread for this game is 14.5 Bama's way. When you go into Death Valley, like they give the home team 3 points. I think Death Valley is closer to 5, honestly. So they're pretty much saying that Bama will win by 20. I see where they get that, but like, as a betting man, I feel like that's one I would have to go against, because they said historically, yeah, as a top four game, like two teams in the top four, that's never been the spread. Like, that's the biggest spread by far.
I think they're doing well. Like, the spread is because, like, with spread, it's more of, yeah, it has to do with the teams, but also trying to make the bets 50-50. So you get 50% LSU and 50% Alabama. And if, let's say, if the spread like is like within 10, I feel like almost everyone would probably go Alabama, because why not? But yeah, I think that spread is definitely ginormous.
Especially against that defense. I know, I understand how good the offense is, but they're just taking away the factor about the defense. And honestly, with the way LSU schemes things, I know Alabama has a good front seven, but this is an offense that's supposed to run the clock, that's supposed to keep the ball moving on the ground, and then play action and go out for a big play.
Yeah.
That's the type of offense it is. So it's not like they're just going to I can't see Tua consistently just getting the ball and being able to always go downfield in just one or two plays. Like, of course there's going to be big plays. It's college football, and they're a great offense. But I'm just saying,
Tua makes it look easy, like he's playing a rookie on Madden.
I can't see them doing it every time against
this defense. Yeah, I can't see it either. And plus, they know each other. Like, it's still, like, it also comes down to coaching. Like, they play each other every single year. It's a rivalry game, so that also makes it closer. Like, all that, like, if you just take away the rankings and all of that, like, no matter what, Alabama and LSU, it's hard for me to pick a blow in any direction in any year, just because they're always close, and just because the game means so much. Like, it means so much every single year. And it's the biggest game. Everyone's talking about it. So, like, it's definitely going to be a great game. And I think Tua would be, like, held, but I don't think he would be stopped because he's Tua.
Probably not.
But, we don't have a chance to talk about college basketball, but college basketball season starts on Tuesday. There's a lot of good games. And for our top five, we want to dedicate it to college basketball. And we're just going to do our top five college basketball teams before the season starts. And which one do you guys want to start?
I'll start. I mean, I've been saying this since they kind of came out with the recruiting classes. I'm going to go with Duke number one.
The Golden State of college.
They're 4 right now in college basketball, which kind of confused me.
Because inexperience, I'm pretty sure.
College basketball can underrate them as much as they want. I really think that they're, at this point, the betting favorite to win it all just because of who they have. It's hard to go against them. So they're my number one with their great team. Number two, I'm going to go with Kentucky. I think Kentucky, the critics are kind of saying about Kentucky, they don't have a star. But when you look at who's returning and then the one or two or three guys that they're getting from their recruitment, like, this team was already pretty good last year. Now it's just getting better. Like, they lost a few people, but then you still have Quade Green, you still have PJ Washington, you still have Nick Richards, who was a vital part of that when they started, like, really getting into it last year. And then you got someone like Tyler Herro, who he looked pretty good in a lot of those exhibitions, so I'm excited to watch him play. I'm going to go Kansas after that. Like I said, same thing with them as it was for Kentucky. They have a lot of returning guys who could help. Like, I think Legere Vick is going to come out and do really well this year as their star. Four, I might be biased because I've been a Villanova fan a while, but I'm going to go with Villanova at 4. They lost a lot of their players, but I just think Jay Wright has the formula to just start winning at this point. He got JQ, who could come out and be a really good point guard. Never know. And Eric Pascal they're saying he's going to be like the best player in the Big East. So I think if they win the Big East, then they're going to have that confidence to go into the tournament. And then 5, I'm going to go with Gonzaga. They also have a lot of returners with their big man and then with they have that point guy, I forget his name, but he's pretty good. So, yeah, I feel like they'll be pretty good. Everyone always underestimates them, so.
Every year, we'll see. Yeah. How about you, Nas?
All right, my top 5, I'm going to go agree with Duke. I think you getting the 1-3 players really makes a big difference. I don't understand how you couldn't see it. I know it's college basketball, anything can happen, but this, I don't know, they just look dominant. If you watch some of the games, like Cam Reddish just went off and, like, he's the, number 2, number 3 recruit?
He's 2, I think.
He's 2? that's the second best player going. Like, they're going to be able to put up numbers against teams, and they're going to have a really good defense because they have length between the two and the four, two through four positions. So, I mean, that's going to be my number one. Number two is probably going to be Nova because I think that they're really well coached. I think, like you said, JQ is going to be a really good addition, and I think he's going to fit right in with that offense because he's that type of player. He can score, he can shoot, he can create for others. Like, he's an unselfish type of player. My number three, I'm going to go with UNC. I feel like their team's always kind of competitive. They always have smart coaching and play calling. And like,
yeah, Roy Williams is a great coach. I have to give him credit.
I think the experience with him being a coach for so long, I think the experience with him is just always puts them in that top five range, in my opinion. I think they're a really good team. My number four, I'm going to go with Gonzaga. They're always, like you said, they're always the team that no one talks about.
Because
like,
they're not in the Power 5 conference.
Because yeah. they're not a top, but they still find ways to always win. They're yeah. always a successful team. They don't always have the best players, but when you come there to watch their games, it's like they have some of the smartest players because of what they do and the way that they're going through ball movement and honestly getting the balls to the big and going from inside to out.
Mm-hmm.
And then my fifth team is Virginia. I think Kyle Guy is actually really good. I think he's a good point guard. I think he's good at creating for others, and he's got a good deep ball. So, I mean, I think they could surprise some teams. I know they didn't do too well last year because they ended up getting bounced, but I still think they're going to come back and redeem themselves this year.
I don't know, man. 16 beating a one. It's hard to call that a good team, but
it is.
Can't disagree.
At number one, I'm going with Kansas. I know they're not winning the polls and everything, but last year I had Kansas winning the championship. I've always liked Bill Self as a coach. I know they lost Graham and a couple other key pieces, but the thing I like about like a school like Kansas is like they don't really have a lot of one and done guys. Like they're guys that they like build their program up, and that's why they're top five team every year and they're always competitive. Number two, I'm going with Virginia. Last year they only had two losses, and like you said, Kyle Guy, he's one of the best players in the nation. And they just got upset last year, and they're in the ACC, and that's not an easy conference at all. And they dominated basically all last season. Number three, I'm going Duke. Like you said, the top three prospects. I'm pretty sure they have Trey Jones. That's Tyus Jones' cousin or brother or something like that. He's good. No one really talks about him. And I just don't want to put them at number one because I don't want to. Number four, I'm going Villanova. The defending champions, you know. No matter what, Villanova, they play the most, in my opinion, pro-style kind of game. And Jay Wright is becoming, you know, one of the best coaches in the nation, like, slowly. Every single year, he's getting better and better, and he's getting his name up there. And Nova's always going to compete, and they, like, it never seems like they get the top recruits. But no matter what, Jay Wright finds the right guys for his program to win. And number five, I'm going UNC. Like I said, with Kansas, it's like another team that doesn't really have a lot of one-and-done guys, kind of like Nova also. So, I mean, UNC, Roy Williams is amazing. I know they lost Theo Pinson and Joel Berry, but they're going to be fine. They're always a good team. Roy Williams is going to coach that team up well. And, you know, Duke and UNC, they're going to be going at it in a couple good classes this year.
Luke May, too.
Yeah, Luke, really? He didn't leave last year?
Mm-hmm. I don't think he left. He's still there.
Oh, he's a senior now, right? Yeah. He's I actually like him. He reminds me of, he's like the college Kevin Love, in my opinion. So, yeah, I have UNC as my five. But yeah, that's my top five. That's all of our top fives, and I'm kind of excited for the college basketball season to start, and get towards tournament time to make some money. But yeah, that's gonna wrap up the Logic Sports podcast today. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday for the Logic Sports NFL Sunday podcast, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter @PodcastLogic, and we'll talk to you guys later.
See you.